everyone, to Your Money, Your Matters on Blog Talk Radio. We certainly are glad that you are with us again today. I'm Rick Grady, your host from the Cornerstone Credit Union League, and shortly on the road, Todd Mark from Navicor Solutions will be joining us as he makes his way into the studio in heavy traffic, which is just about what everybody is going to be experiencing between now and probably the end of the year. And why we start out with Linus and Lucy on the show, because it reminds us a little bit of the holiday season. We are now past Labor Day, and we are getting into that season where we are going to start spending a great deal of money. And we'd like to help you prevent that, and we'd like to help you save a little bit more than you probably are planning on, and hopefully you'll be able to make some bargains, and hopefully you'll be able to shop wisely as you listen to the show and pick up some tips. And that's what we're going to anchor on a little bit today, to talk about things that will affect you between now and the end of the year. If you realize, or maybe if you don't realize, Halloween is creeping upon us. I know that shortly after the 4th of July, I went into my local Hobby Lobby store, which is a regional decoration store, kind of like a Michaels, which is, I think, a little bit more national than Hobby Lobby, but they're both about the same. And I noticed right after the 4th of July, as I walked in, that in the lobby they had a bunch of Christmas trees, and I thought, well, that's interesting. They got their trees in early, but they're not decorated and they're not lit, so that's appropriate and everything else. And then I went into the main door and looked to my left, and here was the largest display that I've ever seen in the store of a mixture between Halloween decorations and Christmas decorations, all on one side of a very large store. So, you know, it is upon us as far as the retailers are concerned, and they would like us certainly to go out and shop as much as we possibly can, buy those decorations, get those gifts, do those types of things. And we would like you to save some money and really begin to plan for the holidays. And now that we're right after the Labor Day weekend, it is a good time to begin planning that. And certainly the first thing that we're going to ask you to do is begin making lists. So here's a list. The National Retail Federation documents consumer spending. They do that because the members of their trade association look upon them to give them data on how the consumer is spending their money. After all, the consumers make up 70% of the economy in the United States, and that's primarily from their spending. So how they spend, and if they spend more than they normally do, that will help the economy. It might not help the individual's pocketbook, but it will certainly help the economy. So the National Retail Federation looks at these types of things and realizes that in just 7 weeks, Halloween will start. And we also know that in the last couple of weeks of September, in the first couple of weeks in October, people will begin to go out and buy all that stuff that they need for Halloween. And during that period of time, consumers will spend nearly $7 billion just on Halloween. Yes, folks, $7 billion on Halloween. Now, how does that equate to the individual? It is estimated that the individual will spend somewhere between $75 and $80 on Halloween, and that's partly for candy and partly for costumes and decorations and all of the other things that we kind of equate with holidays. So this is going to happen this holiday season. We feel that it is going to be a strong retail season for the realtors. The price of oil is down. The consumers are still spending. The wages have creeped up a little bit. The employment has come down. So I think that we've seen an atmosphere where people will begin to spend money between now and the end of the year. And $7 billion is what they're going to spend just on Halloween. Now, of course, shortly after that, we're going to have Thanksgiving, and another $3 billion are going to be spent by consumers across the United States. Interestingly enough, they don't decorate as much for Thanksgiving. Obviously, they don't wear costumes. Well, yeah, most people don't. I mean, I go as a pilgrim every year. But most people don't decorate for Thanksgiving, but they do buy a lot of food stuffs. And they'll spend $3 billion this year. That's the estimate, $3 billion on Thanksgiving. And then we know right after that will be coming Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Christmas, and consumers will go crazy. At that point in time, they will spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $460 billion on that holiday season. So all total, if you add all of that up, you're going to get somewhere around $470 billion are going to be spent by consumers on holidays between now and the end of the year. That's a whole lot of money, folks. And because it is a whole lot of money, you want to pay attention to what your spending is going to be. And the first thing that we're going to ask you to do, remember I started out the show saying you need to do one thing and one thing only right now, and that is you need to make a list. And the very first thing that you're going to want to do is sit down and make a list of for example, for the holiday season of Christmas, what types of things are you going to be doing, and what kind of gifting are you going to be doing. So you need to make several columns on this list. For example, let's take Halloween because that's coming up first. Are you or are you not going to be buying additional decorations, or do you already have them stored in the attic? If they're stored in the attic, that's wonderful. Or if they're stored in some storage room or wherever it may be and you're going to haul them out and use them over again, great. You're probably not going to use last year's candy. Hopefully you don't use last year's candy, folks. But you're probably going to go out and buy candy, and that's going to have some cost to it because most people, and I say most people because, the National Retail Federation does monitor these types of things, and about 70% of the people in the United States answer the door and hand out candy. And interestingly enough, it is typically those people that do that are from 35 to above 65. They're the ones that, of course, don't have the little kids mostly and are at home answering the door, while the other ones under 35 are buying costumes and taking the kids out for trick-or-treating. So we know that there's going to be about $25, somewhere around there, $25. I'm looking at my notes here. Yeah, $25 per person is going to be spent. Now, that's not the individual that comes to the door. That's me buying candy for the kids that are coming to my door. But they're spending on average $25 on the candy that they're going to be handing out during that holiday season. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but then again, if you look at an individual like me, I might buy one or two new little items for decorating during the holiday. Now, they might be something that, you know, I'm not the type that goes out and buys the scary stuff that looks like a skeleton is crawling out of my front lawn. And, I mean, that would scare me. I don't want to scare the little kids when they come around. But, you know, every once in a while I'll buy something that lights up a little bit differently or gives a little bit of a different atmosphere, or maybe something that can be used year after year after year as just an ornament or decoration. And I'm going to go out and spend some money on that. And on average, the consumers throughout the year. Welcome, Todd Mark. Consumers will spend about $40 doing new decorations. So all of a sudden you're up to about $60 in just those things. And when you figure it all out, on average the consumer is going to spend somewhere between $75 and $80 just on Halloween. And, you know, maybe that's not the greatest thing that people want to do in the world. But, again, if you didn't budget for it, it's $75 to $80. And so you want to make a list of what are you going to be doing during the Halloween and how much you want to spend. What are you going to be doing during Thanksgiving, and what do you want to spend? Does that mean I'm going to get into a car and drive over to the grandparents? I'm going to get on a train? I'm going to get on a plane? What am I going to do during that holiday season? Am I having guests coming in? So all of a sudden that 10-pound turkey turns into a 30-pound turkey and all of the things that go along with that. Am I traveling during Christmas time? Where am I going? What am I going to be spending on that in addition to all the gifts? So, again, between now and the end of the year, we expect that people are going to spend somewhere between $460 to $470 billion on stuff, and we're going to try to help you out today. So That's where we're at. Hello, Todd.
Gee, Rick. See, I was going to dress up as traffic on the Dallas North Pullway. That would scare the crap out of people on the holiday.
You need to dress your car up looking like a tank. That's the only way that they're going to get out of the way.
Yes, that is true. Well, listening in from the beginning, and a great weekend to you. By the way, I know we had another scary thing this weekend. Wisconsin played Alabama. Sorry about that.
Well, you know, whenever I look at that, I always look at it from one standpoint, and that is that Nick Saban usually fields an NFL college team.
Yes,
I mean, he does. And if you looked at that that team and the size of that team and the capabilities on that team and the number of NFL scouts that were sitting in the stadium watching the game, you begin to realize that they could probably play about 30% of the NFL teams in the league today and beat them.
Meanwhile, you see, I'm sporting my Hoosier garb because
yes, you did win by 1 point.
We won by 1 point. Now that was against an FCS school, so I wouldn't be sweating too much when Wisconsin sees IU on the schedule later on.
I noticed their mascot was a dog.
Oh my God!
Egyptian dog, but a dog.
Very impressive that you must have been watching. So they talked about that. So anyway, but it was funny that how you started the show out because. Because this weekend I found myself at both Michael's and at the spirit store. Matter of fact, I was in Plano right at the
Spirit store.
The ones
that pop up in the empty spots in the retail center.
Yes. Right. Matter of fact, I was in Plano at the 121 and Preston section where there's a Michael's right at the intersection,
mm-hmm.
and right next door is the Spirit store.
Yep.
And I started out by
which
saying,
is not liquor, by the way.
No. By the way, there is a spirit
on the other side.
On the other side of Michael. That's funny. And by the way, I wonder how much of that $7 billion that you talked about being estimated for Halloween sales is on liquor and spirits for parties and stuff. Because,
I would imagine there's some.
You know, I'm always tickled that my neighborhood that I live in, every year there are multiple houses that have tables set up for the parents that are escorting all the young kids, and they always have, they said, treat for you as well, and that makes it very entertaining. But anyway, so I was out at Michael's, I was out at the spirit store, so I had a laugh that you said that you were doing that, because I, too, was doing that, and honestly, when I walked in Michael's, I was surprised that there was not more holiday stuff right away.
Yeah.
They actually they have a focus on Halloween right now, and I thought, are you kidding me? We're under 4 months away.
That's right.
Should half the store not be dedicated to Christmas stuff, and of course all the other holidays too? But I had to laugh, and of course maybe they think they've got to compete head on. Yeah, you know, the spirit stores are really just costumes and accoutrements,
mm-hmm.
and a few outdoor decor. You're not, you know, the stuff that Michael's or a Joann's or a Hobby Lobby would not really compete with that as far as decorations and
mm-hmm.
things you would hand up. But it was funny because I was there and I was scouting out and doing what you said to do, and I was only thinking about Halloween at this point. I was not thinking about Thanksgiving or Hanukkah or Christmas, since I celebrate both of those. But My one tip, I would say, my add-on to everything you said earlier from Navicor Solutions budgeting 101 is, we'll always start with the dollar amount first before
mm-hmm.
you think about what you want to do.
Because mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, if I started the other way, I'd say I would like to buy a Tesla for the next car I have. And
mm-hmm.
to buy that Tesla, I'll have about $13,000 to go toward that. If I start out with the $13,000, I would say I have more of a Toyota rather than a Tesla sort of budget.
You may not even have a Toyota.
I found a few new ones, believe it or not. But anyway, right in that range. So you're so right on. And with 4 months to go before the big holidays, and not that we'll diminish the $7 billion for Halloween or the $3 billion, which I thought was surprising number,
mm-hmm.
but I think that probably just accounts for pretty much the meal, and that people say that that's beyond the normal grocery bill.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that. Well, 46 out of the 47 billion, 460 out of the 470 billion comes for you know, the December holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So right now you've got 3.5, nearly 4 months to be doing your planning, doing your budgeting, and to be doing saving up. if you want to, say you have not been saving year-round, I've always done where I have at my credit union, I have an account that I put for non-traditional spending, you know, or just kind of the whim spending, and I do that for the holidays. So if you haven't been doing that, though, you've got 3 months minimum to be putting money aside. You also have 3 months if you want to earn extra money to go toward the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
With all the talk about the economy and unemployment being at a, 15, 16-year low, it means that there's going to be greater competition for people to have seasonal jobs.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to there's greater competition for those seasonal jobs, I think as unemployment's lower, you may see more favorable terms as they look for the best seasonal employees. So if you're thinking about, you want to get a job to bring in extra money to, so you don't have to charge your holidays or finance yourself into debt,
mm-hmm.
B, you also think, where do I want to spend my money this holiday season? And that's a great place to look for a job.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you are a craft person. You should be talking to Michaels and Hobby Lobby and Joanne right now,
mm-hmm.
because if you said, I want all scrapbooking stuff, or I want all crafting material, or I like to do framing of pictures, I do knitting and sewing, or I do flower arrangement. Well, if all your money is going to go there, you may get just as much out of the employee discount as you would from the money that you'd be earning part-time working.
Yeah, good point.
So be strategic. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget 1 year I went to work for Best Buy during the holidays because I wanted to get a new TV.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get a big screen TV. I think that was about 32 inches back then, more than 20 years ago. That's a true story, by the way.
They don't even sell a 32-inch for a computer.
Yeah, I know. So too small. But anyway, I was getting a big screen TV, and I wanted to get a bunch of CDs. And, yeah, this is long before iTunes was created. Mm-hmm. And on the ninth day,
or Pandora,
yeah.
Or, you know, all of the other.
Yeah. So I thought, what a brilliant idea. I can go to Best Buy and get the discount on electronics, movies, music, games, you know, and again, long before I'd ever thought about a smartphone or a tablet, things like that. But the discount was significant.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I earned more on the discount than I did for the 3 months I was working there. And I stayed for about 4 months into the next year just because I thought, you know what, this is a few extra hours. It's not killing me.
Mm-hmm.
It would kill the average person because I was getting up at 5 a.m. to help them unload trucks. I was a stock person. My body type, I'm built like one of the dwarves from Lord of the Rings. So I'm very short, but I'm very strong. And a low center of gravity is...
He has magical powers.
Yes, I do. I can swing an axe. But I was great because they'd say, wow, the little guy could really swing the stuff up out of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're in the store, I'd be on the floor and there'd be somebody up, you know, like 10 to 15 feet in the air on top of the racks,
mm-hmm.
and I would toss stuff up, and they would catch it, and they would, like, wow, shouldn't this, I'm taller than you, and I'm like, yeah, but you can't handle this stuff like I can.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't drop the printer on my head, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I got money to support my after-the-holiday spending because I carried some extra debt.
Sure.
So that really worked out for me. So right now is the perfect time. Because it's early September.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm thinking I need an extra job just to pay for all the Star Wars stuff I bought last week with Force Friday. Another story entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got 3.5 months to A, think about how much money you've got to spend right now, if you're forecasting for Halloween, Thanksgiving, and whatever your December holiday or holidays. B, if you don't have that money, are you going to be working? Are you going to be saving up and really cutting down on expenses the next 3.5 months? Are you financing? And if you're financing, you may want mm-hmm. to start thinking about how you're going to do that. Some people may need to actually actively seek credit, you know, or talk to their credit union or talk to one of their credit issuers of saying, how can I get the best terms because I know I'll be carrying a balance after the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not that your money matters. We want to encourage that. but as a 15-year member of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling and working at Navicor Solutions, I can tell you that the one time of year that most people will throw their financial caution to the wind is the holidays. And rather than saying we would expect everyone to save up and pay off everything in the holidays in cash or charge but only pay it off in full, we're realistic. So we'd rather people be proactive and thinking about how they expect to finance. And, of course, if you do want to finance the holidays, ideally you've got a plan where you're not financing anything more than you can pay off in full by the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say this over and over again, Rick. If you carry your holiday budget, your debt, more than 3 months into the following year, generally it's what I call permanized into your new debt
yep.
load.
Yep.
So much as I've gained weight recently, and it's not as there was a, well, it's just a cycle, and I'll cycle back down. 3 months later, I said, "Ooh, this debt is this weight has become more permanized around my weight, my waist. That's
mm-hmm.
unfortunate. It's a reality I'll have to deal with,
mm-hmm.
and start losing it." But it was not just a cycle. So so the same thing with holiday debt. If you're going to finance, ideally, don't finance more than you can cover in the first 3 months of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you're going to regret it because
mm-hmm.
it will be carrying with you. And suddenly, all the deals you get on Black Friday or Black Thursday, all the deals you get on Cyber Monday will seem less because you're now financing interest charges to go along with your holiday expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were just talking about people and how much they spend on maybe throwing a party. The National Retail Federation, although they may track that, did not put that in the study, but they did indicate that a third of the people that celebrate Halloween will be throwing a party.
Really?
Yeah. So they're throwing or attending a party. So,
the other two-thirds will be attending.
Yeah, yeah. And what I found also interesting in here is they calculated the number of adults 18-plus. This is not kids' parties. These are adult parties. So obviously there's a little bit more than Kool-Aid. They estimate that 55 million people will be attending a Halloween party of some sort somewhere.
Wow. Well, maybe you should get your Thanksgiving costume out early and dress up as a pilgrim.
I think I should. That's my Thanksgiving costume, I'll have you know.
I know.
And when you go out in the backyard and try to catch the turkey in that costume, boy, you really run into
it. Wow. That's an obvious.
Especially when you're running along with a little hatchet.
when a turkey sees you like that, that is your Halloween costume
yeah.
to them.
Yes, yes.
Oh, no. It's the terrorist from the horror movies.
It's Friday the 13th.
I know. It's Thanksgiving Freddy. So, it's a nightmare on Thanksgiving Day. it's funny. So going to the spirit store, and my friend Amy was browsing through, and she's not somebody that's traditionally done Halloween parties. And I said, oh, contraire mon frère, I have. I like that. And I said, hopefully we'll get to do a Halloween party.
Mm-hmm.
And she was looking, and she goes, I sure hope these are all aimed at adults. She goes, because if not, the stuff our teenagers are going to be wearing at Halloween
is entirely
inappropriate. And I said, yeah, there is that. And then, yes, it definitely there's certain very adult aspects of Halloween. But, you know, that's part of, to me, there's fantasy of dressing up. And some people do costume play and they go to Dragon Con or Comic Con. Just this past Thursday night going into Friday, I was at a Toys R Us at midnight because all across the world, there was a full day in every time zone at midnight. All the Star Wars toys for Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens,
mm-hmm.
which opens the theater December 18th, for all the collectors and Star Wars nuts like me, they put all the merchandise. So there's the Hasbro licensed figures and the ships. There's Lego building things. There's drones that look like the X-Wing fighter and the Millennium Falcon and TIE fighters. There are statues of all the characters. There are lunch boxes. There are snacky cups. There are T-shirts. There's actually every imaginable sort of apparel. The music has not come out yet. John Williams' new score comes out in December as well. But they would do this. Say it's your one-stop shop for everything Star Wars. So, of course, you go out, and there are people that are dressed up as some of their, and that's the thing. And I thought, this is not their Halloween costume.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, ironically, so I'm out at Toys R Us at midnight, and there's a store in McKinney. It's a Star Wars only store that's been featured in D Magazine. It's like one of the 100 most unique places. It's an only Star Wars store. It's off of McKinney Square called Order 66. And if you're a Star Wars fan, Order 66 is what turned the stormtroopers against the Jedi. But anyway, the owner for the store and his family, there was somebody out there promoting, well, come to our place tomorrow. But they were out among the masses buying stuff on the cheap, on the midnight discounts. And then the very next morning, I was at Target at 8 a.m. as they opened. I was actually there at 8:07 because I dropped my kids off to school. And the owner of the store had three carts filled with stuff. And he goes, don't worry, you'll be able to buy this at my store at noon today for like 40% haircut or whatever it's going to be. But he was promoting. He had two of the characters from the movie were in a shop over the weekend. It's a big deal. So I say not just because of Star Wars, but because of Halloween. People really get into their favorite movies, their favorite TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
They do dress up. They will spend a lot of money. And by the way, this is the perfect way to synchronize all of our conversation. So while I'm in Michael's looking at Halloween stuff, I get a call from my longtime mentor and former boss in radio, Clark Howard. And he said, I wanted to check and see if you bought a bunch of Star Wars dollies on Friday at midnight, because they used to do features on me on CNN and WSB about how asinine an adult going to buy toys are at midnight. And he called to see how did that go. So there you go. Is that the funniest thing?
I don't get those kind of calls. But then again,
That was like a 12-step. Todd, do you still need help?
I was. You know, it was one of those. You know, one of those things where you know I watch it. I like you know, space and everything else, and I watch the fantasy movies, but I don't collect the stuff. You know, it's just not one of my things. I don't collect the stuff, but I think that even for you, you know, making a list of how much dollar amounts that you want to spend every season is a tough thing because you know, you see all the, you go out there and you see all this stuff, and that's part of the issue.
Okay, so look, it's a funny thing, and you're part of the issue. I am the microcosm of somebody who overspends when hype allows them to. So as we're waiting in line, somebody asked where my kids were. They said, well, aren't you doing stuff like this with your kids? I said, well, it is a school night, and, you know, midnight is rough. Well, meanwhile, they've got their 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 10-year-old with them. And they said, well, we wouldn't have our kids miss this for the world. So I pulled out my friend Amy pulled up on Instagram, and there's a picture of my daughter. My daughter is 1.5. And I had her pose with everything I bought at the Star Wars Midnight Madness in 2002. This was when the release of Attack of the Clones came out. And I was a new dad, well, 18 months into being a new dad for the first time. It did not prevent me from that night. I had a list. The list was everything that was released, and I bought one of everything that came out that night. And for an idea of dollars, in 2002, I spent a little over, I think it was $360 total that I spent that night. So what that is in today's dollars, probably a little bit more. Today, so this past Thursday night, going into Friday, I had very few things on my list, and I spent $220. And it's interesting because there was a time when I would have said, it doesn't matter, it's Star Wars, it's my thing, and whatever is available, you know, you buy whatever. And I would have stayed up the entire night hunting around to, because of course it won't be ever available in stores ever again. You can only buy it that night. And that's why it's funny that Toys R Us was wiped out at 20 after. Every figure, every ship was gone, and they kept bringing more stuff out, and then they're like, that's it. So, you know, and that's why they build this up as a hype thing. Guess what? By the end of the weekend, I'm sure you'll be able to find figures and ships at your Walmart or Target or Toys R Us or our specialty store. You can certainly go online. But I got used to get caught up in it. And that's why I identify with holiday shoppers.
Yeah.
When you get the flyers and you think, mm-hmm. I have to do this Thanksgiving night, or I have to be here at midnight mm-hmm. on Black Friday, and I here at 3 a.m., this place at 5 a.m., this place at 6 a.m., and you get caught up, and it doesn't matter. You think, well, I'm saving money, and it doesn't matter, can I afford it? What does this mean for my finances? Mm-hmm. You get caught up in what the unfortunate reason for the season is not the spirit of the holidays anymore. Mm-hmm. It is the spirit of giving, but it's the spirit of buying and giving the best gift, mm-hmm. which I certainly say this in jest. It's not the reason for the season,
yep.
but we often confuse it.
But, you know, I do that too. And in all candor, I think all people have a tendency to do that in one form or another. Mm-hmm. I do that typically at the Christmas season because there are certain things that I like in the house that are what I would call decoration flavors of me.
I think you should rephrase that.
Yeah, no,
flavors of me. Right.
Flavors of me. And if you know, you walk into the house and you'll see certain what I would call collections of stuff.
Okay.
And so there are certain things that I buy. There might be deer figurines or something, nutcrackers as well. And so there's, you know, small ones and tall ones and big ones and short ones and all kinds of them. Now, this is what happens. I go out to find a gift for somebody because they're on my list and I'm going to get them a gift. And I decide I'm going to go to one of these stores that have, you know, kind of something that's unique, maybe imported, maybe fancy. It might be Pier 1. It might be Crate and Barrel. It might be something. Anyway, inevitably, when I walk into the store, there is a giant display of imported nutcrackers from Germany or something of that nature, and I go crazy. At that point in time, I know I've lost a couple hundred more dollars on this display. And I've got them all over one room. They only come out at the holiday season, but I have two boxes of these little guys. It looks like I'm setting up my own army.
When do you put them out, by the way?
Usually I put them out right around Thanksgiving. And I will start decorating right around the end of September for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And that will go up for a little bit. But all of the decorations will come out. And so if you went into my house between Halloween and Thanksgiving, you will see storage box after storage box after storage box stacked in my study waiting to go. And they're all cute. I have to be – that's just me. They're all cute. I work from the top to the bottom. So on the bottom, you'll see very large boxes. Those contain the Christmas trees. On the very top is those that I start decorating around the house. First thing I start decorating is the outside, and I put in all the lights. I don't plug them in other than make sure they work. Other than that, they stay off until Thanksgiving evening, and then I turn them all on. But they're all on.
Right.
So I'm out there in September and October, you know, stringing up lights, and all my neighbors are sitting there going, he's lost it again. And they're ready to call somebody on me, mm-hmm. but that's when I start. And
wow.
then all of the little, you know, ancillary stuff, like the nutcrackers and stuff come out right around Thanksgiving.
Aren't candles a big thing for you, too?
Yeah.
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 I remember from past years talking
mm-hmm.
about that.
Yep. And so all those types of things come out, but that's where I will lose it. I know I do it every year, and I keep saying I am not going to buy another one of these because it means that I'm going to have three boxes of these things, not two. And inevitably I'll buy two or three more.
Oh. Well, combine what we just said.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing is worse than going to the Hallmark store.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hallmark has some of the most incredibly ornate Christmas tree decorations.
They do.
And for mm-hmm. years and years, they've been doing special Star Wars ones.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as a Star Wars fanatic, I'm a completist. I'm one of those, I can't not get this $36 ornament and this $29 ornament.
Mm-hmm.
And they just know there's certain people that, kind of like you with Nutcrackers, there's pretty much no threshold. I just say, oh, this is now part of my budget.
And that's where people lose it. You know, I mean, if I made a list and I stuck to my list and I was just rigid on my list, I would not buy another one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really have enough. I'm having a hard time finding places to put these things,
mm-hmm.
Other than, you know, in maybe lines and rows and then, you know, columns and rows and have them march out the front door.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way with hand-blown glass ornaments from Europe.
Really?
Yeah. I go crazy over very intricate hand-blown glass ornaments from Europe, which is typically where you find the greatest glass blowers in the world. Really, is they're the artisans are primarily that kind of art is handed down generation after generation after generation, but they're very expensive. So I have one tree that's nothing but that.
Wow! Wait. Mm-hmm. One tree.
Yeah.
Now expound on that. How many trees are we actually talking about here?
Five.
Wow! Hold your horses here.
Yeah, they're
right.
They're five.
Is that one for each major space of the house?
Yeah, you're right. A long time ago, I decided, you know, when I'm standing in the kitchen, and typically when you're having a party or a function, I'm the one that's standing in the kitchen mixing drinks or serving or whatever it is. I can't see the major tree that I have in my family room. Although it's a real open space on the first floor, I can't see the tree. So I decided, well, I'm going to have a second tree so I can enjoy it. Now, when I'm not entertaining and I'm sitting in the family room reading, I realize that, you know, I'm looking at the family tree here. I'm looking at the one that's in the kitchen, but I look out into the living room, which leads to the front of the house, and nobody driving up can see the trees because they're in the back of the house. So I have to have one in the front window. Well, that started number three.
Mm-hmm.
Number four was when I'm in the dining room, I can't see the other two trees, so I had to open one. And when I'm upstairs, it would be nice to have one right at the landing on the top of the stairs. That's five.
I feel like I'm watching the reality show about the Duggars.
It's really
You know when we were at Target and there's 18 open registers and we only had 17 kids and we thought one more would allow.
But this is how things can get out of hand, and people can spend a whole lot more than they really need to on these holidays.
And guess what? I think what we've just done, besides being therapeutic for us both, is we're your hosts of Your Money, Your Matters, and it shows that we're not saying, don't spend money, don't go to the holidays. It says, be cognizant of your weaknesses and plan for them.
Yeah.
So that does not mean, gee, Todd, you wasted a bunch of money on Star Wars stuff. And Rick, imagine how much better off you'd be if you stuck to one tree or only had the first 100. We're not saying that.
Yep.
Because everybody has their things. And you know what? You can't take away your joy in life, the things that are fun to you or that are hobbies or collections. It says you build that into part of your budget.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? So, Rick, if we were doing your holiday budget right now and you said, wow, it's a little tighter this year than normal, and just like any other budget, if you've hit an end, you either increase your income or your dollars to support, or you decrease the expenses.
Yeah.
And what we would say is, now, if it's about expenses, let's prioritize what's most important. You may actually say, the nutcrackers go to the top of the list because that is not being touched.
Yeah.
It may mean that a few of the neighbors way, way down that I only see a couple times a year are getting a card rather than a can of fudge, or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I preserve the things that are important. And if you said the nutcrackers was important, you make sure that you can prioritize the most important things on your list.
Yeah.
And that works for everything.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, to me, you want to prioritize your gift giving as far as the dollar amount that you can afford, and then who you're going to gift, and what is the purpose of that gift? I mean, I've often thought of it is just because the holidays are here, and it's I understand it's a special time of the year, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I have to gift everybody in the world, and I have to gift them with the most expensive thing,
right,
and I have to hit them with all of the major wants that they want. I'm not going to buy everybody a Lamborghini.
I know. I've never gotten a Lamborghini from you, by the way.
I know.
So,
I know.
There you go.
But it's those types of things that, you know, I mean, I look at my brothers and I look at my sister and I look at my daughter and other friends and neighbors, those types of things. And so it's kind of a close circle, but, you know, some of them might just get a card with a nice note in it. I do send out cards, and when I do, I write in them. I don't, you know, I don't just sign my name, and then send the thing out.
I never understood that. Why spend the money for, like, a personalized card, or if it's a photo card of yourself or your family on there, and you go to the stamp and all this, and these are generally $2, $3 cards, maybe more than that.
Yeah.
Why do that and just sign Rick?
I know it.
You might as well go all in and say,
write a little message. Now, I will tell you, to get my cards out in time, I'm starting in September.
Oh, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, and I actually sit down with the cards, and every evening I write two or three cards, and I put them in an envelope, and I stack them in a box, and they're all set to go.
Matter of fact, for people that don't know, Rick started about the third quarter of the Wisconsin-Alabama game. Just started to get out of hand. He goes, and now it's the holiday cards. No, just kidding.
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was about halftime when we missed the extra or the field goal that would have brought us within 4 points.
Yes.
We got it in the second half.
Yes.
But,
I'm just kidding.
You know, I love Nick Saban, and I whatever team that he was going to coach, and I knew that we would struggle.
I'm just teasing. You know what? That's a perfect example of if you've got holiday stuff to start working on now. You don't have to dedicate a day.
No.
You can squeeze 10 minutes here and 20 minutes there and say, I'm going to start working on my list. During a football game, you're watching. Trust me, there were several times in the IU football game that I wanted to be doing anything but watching it.
Yeah.
It was the national game on ESPN, and I thought, I am going to throw something through my TV set.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and remind me, this is not an FBS school, it's an FCS school. All right.
Mm-hmm.
With
an Egyptian dog as a mascot.
Yeah, exactly. Hey,
pretty dog, but
those
it's still a dog.
Those are very dangerous. So, but anyway, that was so funny. But it may be in your morning. I have a 25-minute window between taking my son and my daughter to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I may be checking emails from work. I could be addressing letters at the holidays or reaching out to someone. And by the way, that's not just good for the holidays. You're around.
Mm-hmm.
Find the extra time in your day. And if you do something with it, you may say, wow, I found extra productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Because time is just as much of an asset as our money. To me, I think you're winning life when you realize that your time is actually worth more than money.
Mm-hmm.
And that, too, is one of those great life lessons I learned under the tutelage of my old mentor, Clark Howard, is sometimes they'd say, being Clark Smart, running, you know, let's go 8 miles to save 6 cents a gallon, and you realize
mm-hmm.
you're penny-wise and you're pound foolish. It's like, you know, make sure you realize, you know, are you just doing it to say you got a deal and you really are costing you money?
Yeah.
That actually happened to me. So on Sunday, you'll get a kick out of this, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so thrilled that there are several locations up and around our neck of the woods in Collin
mm-hmm.
County, $1.99.
Mm-hmm.
Still, most of the gas stations are between $2.05 and $2.09,
mm-hmm.
but there are several. There's one in Plano. There's actually two in Plano. I've seen one in Frisco. Anyway, and it hit me Sunday morning before I get my daughter to go to horseback riding. Oh, my gosh, I'm near empty. I've got to fill up. And I told Katie, I said, we're going to be a few minutes late because I want to go back to Independence rather than the gas station on Custer, because the gas station on Custer was $2.05, and I
mm-hmm.
wanted to be able to say, and I posted on Facebook, I got $1.99. Na, 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 na. I really did. So what did I do that was foolish, Rick? So let's – and you live in Collin County. What, you don't know which direction I'm going, but what do you think I did which was foolish there?
All I could think of is that you were driving extra miles and burning up the money.
Mm, okay.
Yeah,
so this would be like one of those figure out where Todd went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's my picture that
yep.
I posted on Facebook,
yep.
dialing in.
Mm-hmm.
So what you don't know is my daughter rides in McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
So coming from – so I went from Custer to Independence. I had to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was running late, I went through the neighborhood – went to the racetrack there at Independence,
mm-hmm.
filled up at $1.99 for 17 gallons,
mm-hmm.
which was at the least a savings of 6 cents a gallon
mm-hmm.
because Custer was $2.05. But if I'd gone to McKinney, it was $2.09,
mm-hmm.
10 cents a gallon. And then because I'm running late, I hop on from Independence onto 121,
mm-hmm.
and the gantry, the extra gantry that's $2.07
mm-hmm.
is between Independence and Custer. I get on, and I save the money, and then I paid $2. Well, even if I got on after Custer, it's $1.
Yeah.
So I paid the dollar extra in tolls, thank
mm-hmm.
you, NTTA,
yep.
so that I could save 6 times 17.
Mm-hmm.
So did I break even?
Mm-hmm.
I barely on the gas. I was really, really bummed out when I saw that. Now, of course, if I had not been running late,
mm-hmm.
I would have
actually
not taken
probably lost money because it was like a $1.02 that you.
I know. I know. It was horrible, Rick. So I lost money to say that I saved money.
Yeah.
And Katie, I screamed several expletives in the car to her still somewhat virginal ears,
mm-hmm.
we both had a great laugh. And I said, this is an example where mm-hmm. sometimes it'll cost you to save. And I said, now if I was smart, we would be leaving 15 minutes before, and I wouldn't even take the toll road
mm-hmm.
on a Sunday. I would just take the frontage because it's not like there's traffic and outside the inconvenience of a few lights. But, of course, we want to get
yep.
instant gratification society. We want to get where we want to get as soon as we can get there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, anyway,
the funny thing about that is that I drove by. This was when gas was still about 2 1/4.
Uh-huh.
And we'll see that again, by the way.
Yes.
But it was about 2 1/4. I think it was 2:25. I drive by, and to me, Quick Trip and Racetrack compete with each other, and they have spies.
Mm-hmm.
I think periodically they tell one of their clerks, drive up the street, take a look at the price of Quick Trip, then come back and we'll reprice accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So I drive by Racetrack on the way to Kroger. I drive by Racetrack. It's $1.29. I go up to Kroger and pull in. I look over at Quick Trip, which is across the street. It's $1.25. I get my groceries, get in the car, drive back. Now Racetrack is at $1.25.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like what would really be good is if they made it $1.24, because I could go back to Racetrack or back up to Quick Trip, and they put it at $1.20, which I could drive back again. You can do this all day long.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. And, you know, my daughter, we had a great conversation about the economies of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, Dad, I don't understand. Aren't all the Quick Trips and all the Racetracks priced the same? And I said, no, they're not. And I said, and as we go drive, she saw three different Racetracks with
mm-hmm.
three different price points. She goes,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. She goes, you don't go to Walmart and see three different price points. I said, oh, actually,
mm-hmm.
depending on the part of country, you could. I said, but
mm-hmm.
here, we're literally on 121. I said, now here's the deal, Katie. I said, they're not all owned by Racetrack.
Right.
I said, gas stations can be individually owned and operated.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and the owner may have the right to say, this is my margin
mm-hmm.
on a gallon of gas.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but also, it depends on how often they fuel up or where they and when they fuel up. I said, so if the tanker comes into this store and based on the oil at the barrel, if they, let's say it equates to $1.50
mm-hmm.
for the consumer, and they say, well, my margin is 59 cents, and that way I'll price it $2.09.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, the one a block away, it's their fuel day, but the effective price for the consumer falls to $1.40. It's 10 cents cheaper. And they say, well, I'll also have the margin of 59 cents, but now I'm at $1.99, and
mm-hmm.
I look much more competitive. Even though we're charging the same margin, I just got it at a cheaper time.
That's right.
And I said,
mm-hmm.
then there's the idea that there's some gas stations that are busier than others, and the more frequently they get refueled, I said, they'll have the benefit of daily repricing. I said,
mm-hmm.
if it's a slow one, if they bought it at $2.09, they may wait 4 or 5 days before they get
yeah.
the cheaper gas.
That's
or
right.
by then,
yeah.
they may be so unfortunate that it's gone back up
yep.
or maybe higher. And they'll say, why are they always so expensive there? And it's just dumb luck if they were refueling every day.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes, I had no idea it was that complex. I said, and wait, there's something else. I said, why is it we get up into McKinney and there's the intersection there on 121 becomes
mm-hmm.
5? And I said, because there's
mm-hmm.
a lot fewer gas stations, Katie, and the less competition, they don't have to price down. They may have a higher margin because they say, you're going to go another 4 or 5 miles
yeah.
before you find another gas
mm-hmm.
station, so we may have you... We
yeah.
may have you where we want you.
Yeah,
it's
like traveling on the interstate or traveling on a highway anywhere, and all of a sudden you come by a little city and they have a gas station up in the corner, and they know within 15 miles any direction, you know, if you have to get gas now, you have to get gas now.
Yep.
And you're going to pay $2.49
mm-hmm.
a gallon because you don't want to trust that, you know, 15 minutes down the road, I can make it on the fumes that are in my automobile.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it was a great conversation with my daughter. I said, I love talking, because she is very consumer savvy. For
mm-hmm.
a 15-year-old, she really gets it. And I, of course, between Cornerstone Credit Union League and NAPCOR Solutions,
mm-hmm.
we don't just teach lessons for our listeners. We hope you share these with your kids,
well,
your families, your neighbors.
And I found this, and this is maybe sounds kind of silly, but my daughter does buy and sell stuff on eBay to the point that I don't know what they classify you know, certain eBay levels, but she's at some level or something. I can't remember what it is. I mean, I you can see how much I pay attention to eBay. But when she ships things, she wants to ship them in a cardboard box so they don't get damaged. I suggested to her that there are several stores around the neighborhood that she could go to buy boxes, including, you know, the storage spaces. Every time I drive by there, they always have a sign up that says, "We sell boxes." Oh, no, she orders them online. And I asked her, "Why do you order them online?" "Because they're cheaper." Hmm. She has priced all that out already.
Wow.
She had priced cardboard boxes. She has priced out. Now, she's 25 years old, and she's pricing out cardboard boxes, and I'm going, that's unreal that somebody would actually, I'm going to buy them in bulk from this manufacturer, have them shipped to me, a dozen of them strapped together, because I can buy that dozen cheaper per box than I can from the local retailer down the street, because they'll mark theirs up, of course, because sometimes they get it from the same spot.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so many box makers. So, you know, the people do shop around, and I think people need to shop around. I think that's, you know, I think that's what we need to do during the holiday season as well, is that you need to be cognizant of what pricing is, and I don't want to snub our local retailers, because, you know, that's what we need in our communities, and we need to be able to support them. But then again, you know, if you see something that is significantly different and can save you money for the same item, I'm not going to sit there and say, "Oh no, you've got to spend more money." I'm going to be one that says, "That's a great deal. Go for it."
Yeah, yeah. So, well, this is fun as we start queuing up for the holidays. You know, I was thinking this morning for the show. I always like doing something that I think we should queue up for next week, but at the start of football season, and since college started this past weekend, but the NFL starts this coming weekend.
That's right, it does.
And, yes, you're not a Packers fan, are you?
Oh, diehard cheesehead from a long time ago.
You know, the Packers.
Although I will admit that when they have the cheese hats on, I always look at them and go, nope.
Yeah,
and the only reason is because when you see a large wedge of cheddar, it doesn't have holes in it like Swiss cheese.
Ah,
I'm sorry.
True. This is a good point. Well, I know you. I was kind of kidding. I knew you were a Packers fan, of course, being from Chicago. I'm a Bear Down Chicago Bears fan, and they're playing each other this weekend. So no friendly wager. But what I would say is something I've done for years. Going back through my different CCCS agencies in history, I've always done, start of football season, score a touchdown with your credit. And it was the cutest of releases that would always get picked up, of comparing ways of improving your credit towards strategies of a football game.
Hmm.
Of course, that would mean both my Hoosiers and your Badgers would have really bad credit. That's not where we're going here. What I was going to say is next week, why don't we do the scoring a touchdown with your credit in honor of the kickoff of the NFL season and college being in full swing, and we'll talk about how to improve your credit score and checking out your credit report and score if you haven't done so lately. But we'll do it with the football theme. And by the way, it's important to check your credit now as well.
Yes.
Because everything that you just said, if you are intending on financing, now is a good time to say, do I have an ability to get a cheaper credit card or a cheaper loan? Well, you wouldn't know if you don't know how you're perceived by lenders, whether it's your traditional credit issuers or whether you're going into a credit union or bank or whatever. You want to know how they're going to rate you and look at you. And either you're going to be a good risk and they'll say, sure, we would love to give you this at favorable rates. Or they may say, you're kind of a mediocre, and they'll say, we'll loan to you, but you're going to be paying quite a bit more. Your over-under for their default is higher. And then, of course, there may be some that they say, you're like the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you're cursed, and you're a loss waiting to happen, and we don't want to work with you. So,
like the infamous Cubbies.
Hey, the Cubbies, whose magic number is 18 right now, I'll have you know. 7.5 games behind the Cardinals. and two games out from Pittsburgh for the first wild card game. Not that I'm paying attention to that by the moment, but yes,
yeah.
This is their year. I really, really believe it. I'm so excited. By the way, you know, after I left the radio show last week when we did Your Money, Your Matters, and I meant to tell you something about the Cubs, being that not that we just talked Your Money, Your Matters, but we have a local celebrity. And, of course, people that don't know, you're on the city council in Plano.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
You know? Well, the Cubs threw a no-hitter 2 days before our last show.
Mm.
It was the Sunday night game of the week against the Dodgers. And it's a Cubs pitcher named Jake Arrieta, who graduated from Plano East.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And and he matriculated at TCU.
Mm-hmm.
So a local kid on the Cubbies threw a no-hitter, and I thought, that's really phenomenal.
It goes to show you how much I pay attention to
sports. I know, but I was thinking in the off-season, if I'm in Plano, in the Plano stratosphere like you are, so just planting a seed, that could be a plaque-worthy moment or something, saying making Plano proud.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really funny. I then started thinking, I wonder if there's a breakout by the no-hitters. I think there's like 220 in the history of the game, going back into the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
In the history of the game, yes, there's been a lot of people who have come from the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, seven from Nolan Ryan himself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's great tradition. You think of Roger Clemens and Kerry Wood, the heat throwers like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, but if you wondered how many went to high school or grew up in Plano
and of course Plano was very, very small back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
But in the start of the game, remember the job was to hit the runner with the ball. In the original game of baseball. Now, you see, I don't pay much attention to sports, but I do pay some attention to history.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, in the early onset of the game, when the runner ran from one base to another, the job of the thrower was to pick up the ball in the field that was hit and hit the runner with the ball. That was considered an out.
Wow.
It wasn't that I caught the ball at the base. You know, the second baseman caught the ball before you got to second base. It is that I threw the ball and hit the runner as they were running from first base to second base, and that was the out.
Well, maybe after the Cubs win the World Series and Jake Arrieta becomes, hey, Back to the Future predicted 2015 was the year, and guess what? They may be right. So after that happens and Jake Arrieta has reached cult-like status, maybe we should do a Cornerstone Credit Union League, Navicor Solutions, your money, and you are money, kiddo, your money, and we're celebrating a local kid making good. I was thrilled, and I thought of you, though, that he's from Plano, and I don't know if his family is still there, but...
I would assume so. I mean, he's not that old, to be real candid, and you know, they're probably obviously thrilled to death, along with their neighbors and everybody else, that he was able to do that. And it's hard to get into the majors as it is anyway.
Oh, by the way, and then we'll spend the rest of the show talking about Your Money, Your Matters, because he's arbitration eligible this offseason, and I think he's going to cash in a small fortune, because he is in the thick of the Cy Young Award race, and he leads the National League in victories. So, not just a no-hitter, but a phenomenal year for a local kid who's about ready to need some investment advice. Not that he'll get that here, but maybe we'll work on that. So,
You never know. So, anyway, we are glad that you have joined us. We will start and we will end with a little bit of spooky movie music as we move along, but we certainly are glad that you joined us again on Tuesday for Your Money, Your Matters on Blog Talk Radio. Sir Todd Mark and myself, Rick Grady, we thank you very much. Have yourself an absolutely wonderful week, and we will talk to you again in 1 week on Your Money, Your Matters.
Something strange in your neighborhood.